you for joining us at EAA Radio. I am Wireless Mike.
And I'm Paul Pradecker, and we have an interesting guest this time from Airline Pilots Association. We have Jason Ambrosi. Jason, welcome.
Well, thanks for having me. It's fun to be here.
We've had your colleagues here all week, and give us an overview. What are you doing here at AirVenture, and what are some of the issues you've been dealing with?
Well, it's great to be here. I've come numerous times, and this is my second trip as the president of the Airline Pilots Association, mm-hmm. ALPA's 12th president, representing basically 80,000 pilots across 42 airlines. And we're here for outreach, right? We want to meet our members. So we're talking to members, getting feedback, truly the love of general aviation, the love of being involved, getting back to the roots. I'm a GA flyer myself. Started in the civilian world and made my way through the regionals.
Like many of us.
Yeah, up to 25 years now at Delta. But it's great to be here, do that outreach as well as the education campaign for those that are interested in becoming airline pilots, be part of our great profession, like all of us were or are, as well as advocacy, right? There's a lot of people here talking to Secretary Duffy, talking to, Deputy Administrator Rochelot, Chair Homendy, getting out there and talking to these folks in this environment. It's a powerful time, and we're glad to be here.
You talk about outreach, and of course, it's an integral part of the whole, pilot supply, pilot demand, but not just pilots, but we need dispatchers, we need maintenance technicians, we need avionics people in the industry. But on the pilot side, we've been talking about this probably every year, the topic comes up. And as time has gone on, it's pretty clear that if you're going to do outreach, you need to start pretty soon. By the time somebody's in college, you probably missed the boat, right?
Yeah, I would agree. We our education committee gets out there, and from grade schools to high schools to colleges. ALPA has ACE clubs at these colleges, which are get them associated with what we do. A lot of people, and you guys know what unions do in our business,
sure.
But a lot of people go, "Oh, you're just a union doing contracts." Well, no, we are. A lot of the safety things we have today is because of the unions and the work that they've done as a safety organization. So educating these up and coming young folks on what we do and why we're an integral part of the industry is essential.
So I've flown with a number of military pilots, and they come up from a whole different path.
Yes.
And then they get to an airline, and they're like, "What is this union, and what are they do for me?" Do you guys try to do any educational stuff for military pilots as they're coming up?
There's a transition group that we have that we work with. That is a challenge, because I used to be at Delta. I was the membership guy that saw thousands of new hires come through. And as you said, a lot of the military folks are generally have a tendency to be skeptical of unions and are not really why do I need to do this? I'd rather not be at this dinner. I'd rather just be doing my study or whatever. They come around pretty quick, though, I find, and I'm sure you've seen the same. They go, "Oh, all right." They find that they're, again, it's a simple one. My pay's not right, and the union got it fixed.
Right.
Wow.
My schedule's not right.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Can they do this to me? Who do I call?
Yes. It takes, I've always said in my new hire things, when I get somebody that says, "Yeah, I don't need this," I go, "All right, you tell me that a year from now." Mm-hmm. And then when they bump into me a year later, they're like,
"Sure.
Yeah, I was wrong. I'll suck it up and admit it."
Yeah. Jason, can you add just a little bit of precision to this topic? It's hard to listen to the news without some discussion about air traffic control and air traffic controller hiring, qualification
shortages.
Where are we on this?
So every controller goes through the rigorous training. If Nick from NATCA was sitting in here, he'd tell you that.
Yeah.
They all go through the exact same training, right? But they are short. They're hired. They're on max hiring right now. Those men and women at air traffic control are working, as hard as they can to keep us all safe.
And they've been doing it for a long time.
They have.
Yeah.
It's fine. It took the commitment of Congress to allocate the money to get to max hiring and the FAA reauthorization bill, and now they're, the secretary is committed to keeping that going longer, allocating resources. Look, it's so unfortunate that it takes a tragedy
yes.
like DCA. And then, you know, again, the issues at Newark or other locations for people to really say, all right, it's time for us to focus on fixing this ATC system, right? We all remember next gen, right?
Sure.
I sit on the next gen advisory committee. Well, next gen is past gen. There's nothing there,
yeah.
Right? So you can't allocate $1 billion a year to fix and improve and do next gen when it's taken three quarters of that just to maintain the old junk that they have forced to work with right now. Our men and women in air traffic control are honestly working with stuff that has to be, they got to buy parts on eBay to do some of this stuff. I mean, literally, when you all probably saw the press conference when Secretary Duffy rolled out his plan.
Sure.
All that stuff in front of you, that was junk laying on the table, and that's what our controllers are forced to work
and,
with.
And not only that, but from what I understand, I know some friends in the industry, just the general upkeep of the facility needs some help, right?
Yeah, look, this is not my area of thing, but I would just build a new building next door.
Yeah.
Do not try to fix the old building. Some of these things are 60, 70 years old. They've got, you know, plumbing problems, that elevator's not working. I mean, there's stories of controllers having to climb 15, 20 flights of stairs to do their shift and then climb back down afterwards, and because the elevator's out for months on end. They got to get it right, you know. And we seem to be getting there now. They allocated the $12.5 billion in the.
But it takes time, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it.
Well, it also takes. I mean, it's Congress.
Yeah,
Congress has to give the money for the things, and then they have to like stick with it throughout multiple administrations because you can't just build a building in 2 years. You have to plan this stuff out.
You can, you know, 3 years is aggressive. You can do it. If all the contractors know that the money is there and there is an end in sight, right? So $12.5 billion doesn't fix our ATC system. It's a great start, and I it's great that the Chair Graves and everybody got that money approved, but it's not, what we can't do is lose that momentum. A year from now, 2 years from now, people it may not be top of mind anymore, and then when they need more money, it may not be there for them to get it. So that's part of what, you know, again, we're the pilots. But we're out there as part of a coalition with Secretary Duffy, with NATCA, with the airlines. We've got such a good coalition together to say, let's keep this thing front of mind. Let's keep it moving. Let's do it right. And let's fix it this time, right? We're, U.S. is the leader in aviation, but our ATC system it just can't take it anymore. If we don't do something, they're going to have to start cutting capacity and everything because it just won't keep up.
And of course, that doesn't serve the industry. One of the things I've just been curious about is when we talk about FAA reauthorization and the budget, what I've noticed is September 30th comes at the same time every year. So why
why are all these surprised?
So why are they surprised that we all of a sudden need to get funding sorted out? Can't we just get this going for 3, 4, 5 years at a time? And it seems like that would really help.
Yeah, look, in a perfect world, there'd probably be a separate supplemental bill that says we're going to allocate whatever number they need, you know, 30, 40, whatever, right? Because, well, we can't write a check that big. I mean, when you look at the checks we write for other things, fixing ATC is essential.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something we should do. Congress has oversight. You know, have Secretary Duffy, have Administrator Bedford come in quarterly and report to a panel on what the progress is. You know, if you're worried about oversight, if you're worried about getting all this money, just hold them accountable. But make sure those contractors, the people that are going to lay all that fiber, know that a year from now they're not going to run dry on money. That this is, you can commit, you can hire the people you need to do this, you can get everybody in place and finish the job.
Well, you guys are so involved. I mean, you're clearly, you know, you're helping at the, you know, local level at the airlines. You're certainly on Capitol Hill. But I was walking by your tent the other day, and Mark Lockwood, who I know quite well, was doing a presentation kind of on the day of the life of an airline pilot. So your outreach to people to try to bring them in is certainly a critical part of your function.
Absolutely. People need to understand this is a great profession.
Sure,
you guys both do it. It's outstanding, and educating the folks here that may not understand that is a really, really important part of what we do. How to get in this business, right? It's tough to get into. It's not an easy thing. If you were in the military and come out, it's easy to go to the airlines. It's for some of these folks here that may not have that background. It's helpful for us to give them a path.
Yeah, I've in my time, I've often try to describe the industry, and I keep using the same expression. I say the industry seems to run at max thrust or full reverse, and right now I would say it's like max thrust with a bit of drag.
Yeah.
So,
I will say that our advocacy, along with others, the airlines and other unions, for the payroll support program in COVID has allowed the industry to be where it is today, right? If we didn't get that money, we wouldn't have the airline industry we have today. You know, the industry recovered so fast. You know, obviously they overscheduled. We had some disruptions, all that stuff. But man, if we didn't have that influx during COVID, you know, who knows what the industry would be in that full reverse situation that you discussed.
Which we've all been through it.
Yeah.
You know, some point or another.
Yeah,
sure.
And that's part of our purpose is making sure the new generation of pilots, half of our members have been hired in the last decade or more. Educating them on the tough times, right? You know, it's not all, we don't always get bailouts. You know, there was 9/11 and furloughs and bankruptcies and lost pensions, and making sure that they understand the history so we don't repeat any mistakes. You know, get out there and explain it. We're doing podcasts. We do, you know, written pieces. We just make sure that everybody realizes the hard work it is to be where we are today. It's not all sunny days and paychecks.
So EAA has the Young Eagle program, which they use to try to get kids interested in aviation. Do you guys partner with EAA on any of that stuff or have something similar?
Yeah, we do the Clear to Dream. We do several different kind of education programs like that. We are, you know, we're trying to increase our outreach with every organization right now. So make sure we're all, you know, we're duplicating efforts. If we work together, maybe we can do better work. But I'm proud to be a lifetime member of EAA and be here, you know, with you guys right now and be part of the Air Venture Week.
It's always a team effort.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we have been speaking with Jason Ambrosi from ALPA, and you're listening to EAA Radio.